This episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you by Casper, a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its line of products to create an exceptional, comfortable sleep experience. One night at a time. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/morningstream and use the promo code MORNINGSTREAM at checkout. This is The Morning Stream for January 3rd, 2018.
Where did I park my car? Oh, no.
This is Bob Haynes speaking to you from the central control room aboard the U.S. submarine Sea Lion on this UDT exercise called the bottom lockout. We're about ready to dive. That sound you just heard was the decompression. The top bridge hatch is closed. We're all secured now.
Dive.
There we go.
Gonads are useful for their purpose, but they are no substitute for brains.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
Now all I have is a mission. This is The Morning Stream.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Morning Stream. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett. Hello, Brian Ibbett. Good morning.
Hello, Scott Johnson. How are you?
You know, I'm all right. It's okay. It's a little cold, and I'm grumpy, but it's fine. This cold weather, I don't know, bums me out. It turns me into a... I feel like I need to hibernate or something. I don't know. Like, sleep more.
Oh, really?
I need more sleep.
Yeah, usually I wake up at 5:30, like, on the dot, and then I come downstairs, I either do the treadmill or the Bowflex on alternating days.
Mm-hmm.
Today... 6:15. Tino's like out of bed before me. He's like, oh, well, okay, I guess I'm getting up and I'll have to treadmill later.
See, and that 6:15 is, some will hear that and go, oh, I have, you know, I'll never get up at 6:15. And I'll admit I get to about 7. That's where I get up, 7.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
Today, I could have kept going. I could have gone another hour and a half, something like that.
Just easily.
Something about winter, man. There's nothing you can do about it.
Nope.
Anyway,
you can't explain that with science.
You can't explain that. We're back, everybody. How are you? How y'all doing? We hope you're doing well. Hey, I think I have a problem with my dog. I want to explain something with dog here.
Okay. Where do you park your dog?
Oh no. So she's fine. She's great. We love this dog. She's the best thing ever. I would rather spend time with her than almost any other four-legged creature in this world. And she's great. But we've done something as a human race, mm-hmm. by taking these what were originally wolves and foxes and other sort of wild creatures, and domesticating them down into these, you know, various shapes and sizes of domesticated dogs. We've lost a little something, and this isn't going to come as a surprise to most people because I'm sure your dogs behave this way too. But when was the last time a dog, after it pooped or something, went to do the berry thing it does with the kick in the dirt behind it?
Yeah, like basically they're standing there with, like, kicking their legs back furiously.
Yeah, when's the last time, A, they actually buried anything, or B, it was anywhere in proximity of where the deed was done?
I don't know if I necessarily think that that's a burial thing. It's been said that the only two creatures who instinctively bury their own poop are cats and humans. That
I didn't know that.
Dogs,
wow.
Yeah. I don't know if they're thinking that they're burying it, because they're kicking so furiously. It seems like it would just be like all right, if you really wanted to bury it, you'd go zoop, 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 kind of like a cat does.
Yeah.
But
you think they're just putting it behind them? They're like saying, this is it.
Like,
be damned.
It's the dog equivalent of this. Like the that thing you do where you, like, brush your hands rapidly against each other and say, done with that, let's move on to the next thing.
Washing your hands of that business, basically.
Washing your hands of that business, exactly. I did that, by the way, description provided for our podcast listeners out there.
Yeah.
Hello, all of you.
Closed captioning.
That's right, exactly.
Available here on the show.
Some people in the chat room are saying that it's an alpha thing, or that it's to cover its scent.
Oh, well, I guess, okay, well, let's say it's any of those things. Let's say it's all of those things.
Sure.
I don't think it works anymore. And what I mean by that is, like, it's an instinct, obviously. Nobody trained her mm-hmm. to do it. Nobody trained Rainer how to do this. She just does it every time. Sometimes she'll walk a block before she does it. Sometimes she'll do it right after the business is over with. Usually she's facing it and kicking the other direction. I think it's just broken. It feels like a computer you bought that used to print okay, but now it makes your fax machine make beep sounds. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just malfunctioning. Sure. Like, it's an inbred, like, deeply seated instinctual thing that comes from way back in their species origin, yet it's completely useless now. It's just like this weird tick that they
According to vetstreet.com, Vet Street. To the end of Lonely Avenue and Heartbreak Boulevard.
Sure.
Vet Street is, they say, the behavior is also a way to mark territory. They say that they kick the ground after elimination for sanitary reasons, maybe also because they're like, I got a little poo on my foot.
But the
behavior is also a way to mark territory. All dogs have glands in their feet that secrete pheromones, and a couple of backward scratches into the earth release those chemicals.
Oh. So she does, so says, all right, well, not only have I pooped here, but I declare this is my space.
Exactly.
Okay.
I did this.
Okay. I mean, I come to this as no expert, but it does just feel like once in a while, dogs have stuff in them that it's left over from a time where it may have been useful. Like, I read that when they sneeze a lot, that's when wolves are telling each other they're ready to hunt. It's not because their nose is weird. And I have noticed with Rainer that when she gets very playful and wants to get moving and playing, she'll sneeze a whole bunch before the rabble-rouse starts.
Daisy will do that with snorting. Like, she'll make this little snorting, like...
Yeah, kind of a little like that. A little like that, yeah. And same with Rainer. She'll kind of... And it's like, all right, okay, go play. Do what you got to do. All I'm saying is, I feel like we don't fully understand how much of their natural state we have stripped away as human beings. Just by over... what's the word to use when you make a bunch of dogs?
Over inbreeding, crossbreeding, or over-breeding. Domestication.
Overbreeding? Too much breeding.
Over domestication?
Domesticated overage.
Sure. We've bred the nature out of them.
Yeah, we have. We've basically been an artificial point of evolution for dogs, and they just are no longer the things that they used to be. And I just had kind of a little sad moment this morning walking her out there. It's just kind of, she doesn't really ever get to be, you know, like when she howls at police cars. What is that? Like and it's way off. You hear a siren way off in the distance, some police or ambulance, and she'll go, and just hold it. What's that about? Yeah, what's the deal there?
Ruby used to do that. We miss that so much. Mm. Daisy doesn't do it at all. Like, Daisy's thing is the UPS truck. She hears the UPS truck coming down the road, and she runs to the door to start barking. Like, they don't even have to ring the doorbell. Yeah. She's like, she recognizes the sound of that truck and says, these guys again.
Wow.
I'll do it again, Dad. I'm going to scare them off like I always do.
Specifically those big brown trucks, though? Not like a...
Specifically the big brown trucks. FedEx trucks a little bit. I mean, I think it's something to do with the way those trucks sound. But like a regular truck driving down the road, no problem. A regular car driving down the road, no problem. But boy, she hears a delivery vehicle of any sort.
Wow.
And she's been trained. Because I think it probably comes from, all right, well, they used to ring the doorbell. And then she goes ballistic when the doorbell rings.
Yeah.
And I mean ballistic. I mean, it's almost like the sweetest, calmest, friendliest dog you've ever met. And then the doorbell rings and it's like... Hyde. It's like Mr. Hyde comes out of the Dr. Jekyll, and she just goes freaking ape squat.
Yeah, Rainer doesn't freak out about doors. She doesn't do anything with doorbells or knocks. She doesn't care about fireworks at all. She just sleep right through it, could care less.
Oh, yeah, Daisy freaks out with fireworks. Like,
so,
she gets...
So obviously every dog's different, right? Is what we're getting at.
Yeah,
every
of course,
even
of course.
Every breed.
And it's how they're trained. I mean, it's how they were brought up and maybe taught by their parent dogs.
Sure. And you're their master now, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. Look at me. I'm the captain now. Look at me.
Yeah, look at you. And also, you know, Rainer still, she'll still eat as if someone's going to take it from her. So she's still got some old, like, kennel mentality in her a little bit from back when she was a pup and she was sort of being mistreated by other dogs in a giant kennel. So yeah, these are all interesting things. Here's what I found out, though, about the howling. Dogs can feel pain from sounds that weren't painfully loud to us. The very loud sounds can hurt the ears, and if the sound seems too loud for you, it is probably more so for your dog. Instead of moving away from the sound of sirens, dogs choose often to go outside when they hear it and howl along with the chorus. The idea being, this is just a theory, I don't know if this is proven, the idea is if they do it along with it, they don't, it doesn't hurt their ears as much because they're creating a parallel sound. Does that make sense?
Interesting. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. It's like noise-canceling howl phones.
Yeah. Noise-canceling howl phones is today's title. Noise-canceling howl phones. Brilliant. Brilliant. Well done. Hey, Brian, check it out. Breaking news, everybody. I'm going to play some audio.
Paris Hilton is engaged. So her boyfriend of 2 years proposed with what is reportedly a $2 million 20-carat diamond ring.
Oh, here he is.
Yes?
Oh, my Lord. Divorce in 2 years. Minimum. Minimum two years.
Oh, yeah, if that.
Exactly. I mean, I don't like to... I don't like to leap right into a brand new marriage and go, yeah, you guys aren't going to make it. But there is something about this video that screams horse shit to me. I can't explain what it is. There's something real fake about it.
Well, all right, so they've got somebody with them.
Yeah, there's somebody filming it.
They're up at the top of some sort of ski slope. Almost looks like Snowbird.
Yeah, it kind of does. It looks Salt Lake or Colorado, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah. How much of this do you think is...
staged?
Staged, but also like... I believe that there's some affection involved. I believe that these two like each other.
Sure.
But... the whole thing smacks of, oh, people have forgotten about me. I need to do something. I know. Let's get married. I bet, 8 months from now, Lindsay Lohan. We're going to hear something new about Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, well, she needs to come out again.
She's been off the radar for such a long time.
Well, she said something recently about that Weinstein deal. Didn't she come out in favor of Weinstein or was defending him or something?
No way, really?
Yeah, and it lasted like a day, so that wasn't much of a comeback. But
oh, my gosh, that's a...
Yeah.
That's a bad...
it's a pretty bad one to come back
on. It's a bad side to take.
I completely agree. $2 million diamond ring, though. Good Lord, dude. That's stupid.
Is that really a 3 month salary for that guy, whoever he is?
Well, he is an actor, it says. Let's see what he's in. Chris Zika. Zilka, ooh. Sorry.
Okay, I was going to say, he's...
Sounds like
a viral name.
He's the son in the Leftovers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, right.
What was
Thoreau's
his name?
Justin Thoreau's son.
Son who was barely in season three.
For a while.
Yeah. Like barely in season three. Let's see, Tom Garvey is who he played. I guess he was in the Spider-Man.
Oh, was he Flash Thompson in the Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Amazing, the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man movie.
Yeah,
maybe
it was one of those Piranha 3D deals. That's about it. but that's fine. Look at him. He's a handsome feller. There, he's fine.
Sure.
He's from born in the. Let's see. He was born under the surname Settlemyer and changed it later to Zilka.
Chris Settlemyer. By the way, coming to FX, the new drama, Settlemyer.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, what could come out of this is an actual reality show for Paris in her 30s.
Oh, yes. No kidding.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Congratulations, I guess. I don't think it had to be $2 million.
People has five things you should know about Chris Zilka.
Oh,
number one, he's an actor.
What?
That's number one. He has Midwestern roots. He was born and raised in Youngstown, Ohio.
Uh-huh.
He understands the importance of tradition, it says.
Uh-huh.
He wanted to make sure that the Instagram shot was lined up perfectly, as is tradition.
Yeah, and also, the tradition of a $2 million wedding ring, engagement ring.
That's right.
That's exactly. A good tradition, sure.
He got a tattoo in Hilton's honor. Let's see. In July, Zilka made his love for Hilton permanent, surprising her by getting a large tattoo of her name in Disney font on his forearm.
What?
Disney font?
Like the Disney logo?
Yes, it looks just like... Oh, here, I'll put a link in the...
Uncle Walt? Signature?
Yeah, basically it's like... how can I copy and paste a link to this?
I don't know.
I'll do it this way.
You can do a screen grab.
I'll do it this way. I'm going to do a screen grab, exactly, and then I'm going to paste it in the chat room.
Command-Shift-4 is your friend.
There's your... Exactly.
Yeah.
And he's not on social media.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Boy.
So he has no idea who Paris Hilton is.
What? Well, good luck to him, I suppose.
I like that your first name is a city and your last name sounds like that hotel chain. Let's get married.
I've been to a Hilton. That's funny. I've been to a Hilton hotel before. I'd love the idea that that's what he would be like. Is that
let
guy.
Let me take a video of my engagement on my phone. By the way, have you ever done any videos? Have you ever been in any videos? Let me Google your name and see if you've been in any videos.
Yeah. I mean, look, I hope they find great love. I have no qualm, man. Hopefully this is the real deal.
Yes,
and
exactly.
You know, go for it. You gotta make that stuff work. And so I hope it works out for you. But that video made me laugh. All right.
JC Calhoun says, people who, quote, aren't on social media are the new people who quote, don't have a TV. That's so right. It's so true.
That's true, right?
100%.
Yeah.
Well said, JC Calhoun.
Yeah, well done. Always JC Calhoun with the hot takes. You can always count on those. All right, we're
going to hot takes.
Oh, we got a hot taker coming right up here, folks. I don't know if he's there though. Hold on. Dunaway, are you there? No? Hello? Maybe. Could be. You forget. It's New Year.
Brian.
Missed a couple Brian of Mondays.
Brian Dunaway.
Yeah, Holloway.
Brian Dunaway.
Your Ken Kratz is still... Are you still getting some work out of that Ken Kratz there? That
voice. He's still getting work, you know. He's
it's good
also
stuff.
Been out of the public eye.
All right. For some reason, he no answer, so we're going to figure that out. Dang. All right. Well, you're there then. That's good. I like that.
Yep.
How about that?
Oh, my Lord.
You could probably pull it about 6 inches further from your face.
Yeah.
How about that?
Welcome, everybody, to Stump Dunaway. We haven't done one of these in a while because of the stupid holidays landing on Mondays, but it feels good to be back at it with this on the line is Brian Dunaway. Hello, sir. Oh, he's drinking.
Hi, how are you? It was 2018. Hi, how's it going?
Hi, it is 2018. How you feel about the new year so far?
I feel like it's way too cold.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What are you going to do about that? You going to bundle up? You going to layer up? What are you going to do?
I'm going to bitch and whine. That's what I'm going
to
do.
Okay, we got a question before we take a call here. And by the way, chat room, if you look to your left or your right there on the screen, you'll see a phone number. That's the number to call. Dunaway, we were having this discussion right before this while he was trying to get a hold of you. You have like, and this is true of me as well, there's like, I have 9 separate phone numbers for you.
I have 4. I don't know, what do you have more of? Do you have more microphones or phone numbers?
Yeah, which is the prominent thing in your life of those two?
Which one are you hoarding more of?
I like both. Can I have both?
You can have both. But why is it you have so many numbers? Now, I understand the idea of you switching phones and getting new tech because you're a tweaker like that. You like that stuff.
Right.
But
I'm running from debt.
But why don't... Oh, see, okay, that was a theory I hadn't thought of. But why not transfer your number around? Like the same number so you always have it.
You know what? Actually, that's what I actually did. I finally unified all my phone numbers into a Google phone number because I did have so many numbers. And so now there is one unified number that you should have.
Okay, let me I'm just going to ask you a couple digits. Should the one we use end with a 50?
What the hell is that one? Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
That's the one.
So the one
that is the
with-
one.
The one that ends with 09, I don't need to keep. The one that ends with 83, I don't need to keep.
Yeah,
I got that one, but don't call that one. Yeah. I never answer that one.
Never. This is so you, though. For all the years I've known you, this has been your email world. This has been your like social media world, your website world. Like, which server do I send it to? Well, let me think of the 20 that I have, which one you should use. Like, it's kind of great. I don't think you should change. Not for us.
Don't worry. It's not going to happen. I'm not changing.
All right. Well,
I am going to change. That's probably the problem.
All right. Well, I'm going to take
it. Oh, but if I text you, it should be to the 83, right?
Yeah. How do you get text?
I get all my that number you had, it gets forwarded to the 83 number.
Oh, but, really? So Google Voice will forward a text as well?
Yeah.
An SMS? Wow.
Shut up.
All right, that's
if
crazy.
If you set it up right.
All right, well, only you would know. We have on the line with us a participant in today's Good Times. Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Paleo Rocco.
Hey, Paleo Rocco, what's going on? You got a very excited tone to your voice, and I like that in our callers. What's going on?
I do. I'm super excited.
Oh, dude, we're excited to have you here. Thank you so much. Where are you from again?
New York.
New York City. Ah, that's fantastic. Well, city or upstate or where, what part of New York?
No, the city.
All right. That's good.
I'm playing hooky from work today.
All right. You sound like you're a man about town is what it sounds like to me. Are you guys getting that big storm today? There's a big storm coming or something, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they said a couple inches overnight, 3 to 5 tomorrow, something like that.
Yeah. Gnarly. What they call it? It even has a name.
Well,
somebody
told
me.
Like you guys have, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's probably like one of our normal storms. Anyway, well, it's good to have you here. You are going to participate in today's Stump Dunaway contest, which Brian Ibbett will explain the rules for. Brian, how's it work?
Well, that is correct, Scott. We're going to be asking Brian Dunaway a trivia question here in just a moment, Rocco. Brian Dunaway is going to give an answer. Guess what? It's a new year, same rules. Brian Dunaway is going to give an answer. It's going to be a number. Then we're going to turn to you and ask you if the correct answer is higher or lower than Brian Dunaway's guess. If you are correct today, you win a copy of The Long Dark. It's a game, and Icewarm provided us a code for that, and Zach provided us another code for Offensive Combat Redux. So you're going to get a copy of 2 games. I don't have to mail anything. Happy New Year to me.
All right. How do you say is it Redux or is it something else? Well, let's find out. One of these YouTube videos here.
Redux.
It is Redux. Okay.
It is Redux, yeah.
All right, at least that guy got right to it. Let's try Redux. This.
If it was O-U-E-X, it would be French, and it would be pronounced Redux.
All right, we'll try it. We're going to get one alternative here.
Let's Redux.
See. Yeah, Redux. Brian's right. It's Redux. I got to remember that because I always say some Frenchy thing. Anyway.
Your category today is speed reading.
Oh, what?
Yes.
Speed reading.
Brian written question right here.
How you feeling about that, New York? That sounds like fun. Speed reading. Woohoo!
Speed reading.
That's what I do all day. Speed reading.
All right, brother.
Nice.
Brian wrote this question for the record. Brian Ibbett, that is to say. Not Dunaway. He didn't write his own question.
That would be an interesting twist, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that'd be no good. All right, Dunaway, here is your question. Are you ready? Are you comfy? Yeah, Dunaway? Well, don't hear
me. We don't hear you now.
Your mic must have turned off.
Yeah, we're not hearing you at all.
somebody clip that little freak out, and then I want to make a GIF out of it. Nope. Wait, how about now? No, I hear you on the other mic, the buzzy one.
Yeah, we're hearing you on buzzy mic.
You can talk in there. That's fine. We'll make it work. I don't care. Buzz.
Yeah.
Buzz.
How about this? How about this? Hold on a second. Wait.
All right. Waiting for it.
Oh.
Is that your webcam mic?
It'll work.
Screw it.
This is hilarious.
This
is amazing. All right. Technically amazing. Here's the question.
Is this too close?
No.
Yeah,
you're totally fine.
You go a little bit further back.
Yeah, you can go a little back. There
you go.
All
right. In addition. Well, that's so white, dude. In addition to being a darn good president and a peanut butter aficionado, is he a good president, Jimmy Carter? I don't know.
I thought
he was a great president.
Sure, he does the whole Habitat for Humanity
thing. No. He's a great ex-president. I don't know if during his term he was a great president. He was okay.
He did.
Anwar Sadat and Menachem Begin to sign a treaty.
Yeah.
He inherited a lot of crap.
He did. Yes, he did, but then also, like, the gas shortage happened under him, and they had the Iran.
Yeah, but he didn't do it, did he? Well, yeah, because he kind of did.
And
he had
the hostage thing. I mean, whatever. Dude, a clod of dirt with a freaking little bit of urine and a hair sticking out of it is better than what we got now, but, you know.
I think that is what we've got now.
100% hands down, though, I'd say Jimmy Carter is the best ex-president we've ever had. Like, straight up, that dude is killing it.
Right.
Anyway. Jimmy Carter is a speed reader. This I did not know. How many words?
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, how many words per minute was President Carter clocked at the peak of his speed reading prowess?
5. He's from Georgia. The speed was low.
Higher.
Yeah. Wow, we really gave an easy one to Rocco. I'll give you a hint though.
Right. No. Okay.
You want a hint? I'll give you a hint.
Give me a hint.
It's a lot. It's a lot more than you think. So how do you? This is words per minute, right? Yeah. So I'm going to say it's more than you probably think is what I'm thinking.
Right. Well, I've watched some stuff on speed reading, and lots of times it seems like they're just flipping pages and looking for keywords. So do all those words he skipped over count? Is it the reading comprehension part? What? How does that?
Oh, I can tell you that he has a 95% comprehension rate, which is higher than the 60% that's looked at as kind of the baseline for speed reading.
60% is baseline? Amazing. Wow, that is... I would love to be able to do this because I have so many books I want to read and I'm too slow. I want to get through them, you know? Anyway.
Okay, so, I mean, just reading a word, I mean, it's that takes like a second, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For me. And so that would be 60... So 60 words per minute is probably... Eh. Just guessing. Eh. And Jimmy Carter is better than eh.
Yeah.
So we're going to give him... I'm going to say he can do... 1,000 words a minute because he's a man.
Oh, wow.
He's a man! I love Jimmy Carter!
All right, this is a bold statement from the...
We're also finding the limits of your microphone.
Oh, sorry. Oh, right here. 1,000 words per minute.
Whatever, man. This circus is great. It's the best. 1,000 words per second. Brian Ibbett, is that...
Minute, not second. Good Lord.
Sorry, a second. Brian, or a minute, sorry. Brian, is that correct?
1,000 words per minute is incorrect. Rocco, is the correct answer higher or lower than 1,000 words per minute?
Higher.
High. Oh, geez. Look at this. Look at the... What? Rocco is throwing all his money in the corner. I love this. All right. That was it.
All in is what he is.
Yeah, that's a guy who doesn't mess around or dink off. He's like, you know what? I'm going and I'm making it and we're going to see what happens. Let's find out from the judges if it's correct.
Congratulations.
100%.
You're a winner.
Literally 100%. 2,000 is the correct answer.
Wow.
Per minute. That is insane. I think you'd finish the book I'm on right now in about, I don't know, half an hour or something. Yeah, anyway.
I was not giving him credit.
No, he's...
And that's not even close to like Guinness Book of World Records. 40,000, 80,000, like those are ones that are clocked in for the Guinness Book of World Records, but they focus on like a 60% reading comprehension rate.
Brian, how do they know though? Like, how do you test for this?
I read up on this to write this question. They actually, first off, you have to read something that was written specifically for this, for the Guinness Book of World Records test.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, it's too easy for somebody to say, okay, all right. So I read this thing called the Bible. There's this guy named God in it and Jesus and da 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 da. But they actually have something specifically written for this, and they test you afterwards, and you have to basically get a 60% or higher on the test.
Oh, wow. Okay. This is
good. I was going to say that I read articles all the time, about 500 words a page, try to go through 4 pages in a minute just to breeze through and try to get comprehension out of it. So yeah. That's...
There you go.
Does it work for you, Rocco? Are you successful in doing that? I feel like I would be terrible at this.
Yeah, I mean, I think you get used to it. I think your brain clicks into a certain wavelength. You know what you're reading, you know the material, so you're just looking for the most key arguments and phrases, and you get it wrong, you hope nobody calls you out on it.
Yeah, there you go.
Right, you do that, you drop right on Twitter, and you start making comments.
Yeah, that's right. His, great. Rocco's Modern Life, everybody, that's how it works. All right, well, you've won, and that means to get the winnings, you just need to send an email to Brian Ibbett at coverville@gmail.com. That is coverville@gmail.com. Congratulations to you and all our
Thank
best.
You. Oh.
Thank you, Rocco.
Take a hat, he said. Brian Dunaway.
I can read 1 billion words per minute.
That's a lot of
Zero
words.
Zero comprehension.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I'll say 1% comprehension. How about that?
Yeah, all right. I feel like I comprehend pretty well. I'm just slow. Not slow. Mm-hmm. I'm not that slow, but I'm like, I don't know. I'm a leisurely reader. It takes me like 6 months to get through a book because I'll read an hour and a half every couple of days. Sure.
But reading is a relaxing exercise for me. It's not a consumption of information, and I like to get the minutia of what the author is trying to say and trying to get, pick up the environment that he's trying to set. I like to read slow.
Hey, I just found a website called freereadingspeedtest.com. You test your reading speed and comprehension, quickly determines your reading speed and full comprehension and what level of reading your comprehension tests as. Your ability to read at higher speeds with good comprehension can dramatically affect blah, 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 blah. All right, so that's interesting. So you have to select a theme. So the theme
and then
is
you probably have
to
answer questions afterwards. And oh look,
yeah,
I've got one of those.
I'm gonna do. I'm gonna do American history. Maximum complexity.
Ow, spoiler.
Oh geez, spoiler. Select story one. Okay, how do I do this? Conflicts with the Plains Indians began with the Sioux Massacre of White's Plains in 1862. Continue through this. All right, I will do this later. But this is cool.
You also don't have to do it out loud.
No. You can just, yeah. Although my
that'll also increase your speed reading is fine.
My sister Wendy says that you're a better reader if you read out loud. Is what she always says. But
oh really? Oh, I think it's the opposite. If I'm reading out loud, like when I would read stories to Tristan,
yeah,
it would be, I would not comprehend it if I was reading out loud as well as if I just read it to myself.
There's definitely different types of learners, and some people can't learn when they hear things out loud.
That's why I always thought it was the dumbest thing when teachers would tell you, you know what, basically in class would have the kids read out loud parts of what they were trying to learn.
Yeah.
Because I didn't feel like I ever retained anything I read out loud because I was too focused on pronunciation and diction and punctuation, stuff like that. All the Asians is what I was worried about.
Got to get that diction.
Get the diction.
The other thing is when she was a little kid, you'd hear her in the house. Like you could be downstairs or something and you'd hear somebody upstairs going, and then the little pig walked into the dale and stole 14 monkeys or whatever. And it was her reading out loud as a kid. She always did that.
Your listening comprehension is poor.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong, sir. The Brian Dunaway on Twitter, and many things are happening with Brian, so follow him and be a part of his life because he wants to be a part of yours. Take it easy, Dunaway. We'll see you later, buddy.
Totally do.
All right.
Oh, wow.
What?
Yeah, we need to set up some time with Brian Dunaway to figure out his sound thing after.
Yeah, that was bad. Well, he's always, this is my whole point. In fact, what's so funny is we were just talking about it before we called him, about how something always changes on his end. And it's because he tweaks and fiddles and dorks. That's what he does.
Tweaks and fiddles and dorks.
And I admire that. I admire that because you can, you know, you end up finding cool things, right? Like he's got a brain for that. And I think that's great. But it always ends up being a microphone problem almost every time. So there you go.
Hey, one real quick thing more about the speed reading. On the TiVo.
Yeah.
We have a feature where we can have speed mode turned on for things we recorded. So like if we're watching a recorded Oscars, awards, you know, Golden Globes, which is coming up Sunday, you know, watching something like that, we can put it on speed mode and it's almost like 1.5, you know, 1.5 speed, like on your podcast app. If Netflix and Hulu offered something like that, would you speed watch the stuff you binge?
No. Because, well, if
it doesn't,
it depends
it doesn't
on
affect,
if it's not perceptible. Then fine. Then what's the difference? I wouldn't notice. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want to know, though, weirdly. Isn't that weird that I don't want to know that they're doing it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, there you go. Okay, you're right. You want Kim to turn that feature on without you knowing about it.
Yeah, because there's definitely...
you'll be looking for the audio speed up.
Sure, or the, you know, if it's an edit thing, I'd be looking for that, or, you know, whatever their method is, I would be looking for it. So the answer is yes, but a qualified yes. I don't want to know what's happening.
Sure.
But at the same time, there's been some film sack movies I would have loved that feature for.
No kidding.
There's only a few like that, but some of them are just like, oh, okay, I need to speed.
I might be wanting that this weekend when we watch, or this week when we watch 8 Mile.
Oh, yeah. You're not looking forward to 8 Mile.
I'm not. I remember there are very few movies, and this was back in the times of rental. This is a movie rental.
Mm-hmm.
There are very few movies that I'll rent and then I'll leave halfway through, and when you're watching your own house, it's kind of awkward to leave your house until the movie's over and then come back. But but I did turn that one off halfway through just because it was so boring.
Yeah, it's a good point. Swamp Rat 1965 makes a really good point. Says it already irks me when stations like MeTV speed up shows to add more commercials. That's when I'm bugged by it. I would probably be less bugged by it when I know that it's just happening for my own busy time schedule. And it needs to be slight. It can't be so fast that it's obnoxious. Because I don't do that with podcasts or books or anything. I can't do that. It's annoying. I gotta have I gotta at least. It needs to be in the realm of possible speed. or else forget it. Mm-hmm. Chat room, yeah, I put the speed reading link in the chat room, so if you guys want to try that out, maybe we'll all compare stuff later. Who knows? All right. Well, there's that. That all went great. Well done.
It did. Went. Yeah. Let's. We'll talk to Brian and fix his microphone before the next show. When do you record? Oh, you don't record Boop till Monday.
No, it's got. We've got just like a week.
Of those.
Yeah. A week and a half, right. Something like that. I guess it's less than a week. Hey, it's the news brought to you by.
Brought to you by Coverville, where we're going to go 40 years back in time and look at the music that was popular on this date back in 1978. Stuff like Run Around Sue by Leif Garrett and Come Sail Away by Styx. And of course, the pair of We Will Rock You, We Are the Champions by Queen. Also, you'll hear a song performed by none other than Maggie Gyllenhaal, performed on today's show. What song will she cover from 1978? You'll just have to tune in and listen. All this and more coming up at Coverville, 1 p.m. Mountain Time, coverville.com/live.
It's a new year of Coverville, everybody.
That's right.
Line up and get your share today.
And when I don't have a birthday or another event, usually this is the easy bag to go to. It's like, all right, what was popular on this date 25 years ago or 30 years ago or 40 years ago?
It's a good pick.
It is. It's always a nice variety.
Here you go. Adult diapers. They're a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wearing one.
They are a thing. It all depends.
I'm not. Well done. I'm not wearing a pair now, but one day I might. Who knows? But apparently.
You know, when you think about it, that is the dumbest product name. Depends.
Oh no, it's awful. Well, they're saying you depend on it, but yes, right? The double meaning screws it up.
Then why not depend?
I agree. I completely agree. Call them depend.
Depends. You never use the phrase. You know, you very rarely use the phrase depends. Like you'll say, well, this depends on whether or not I can do that. Or,
right.
But you'll say, oh yeah, you can depend on me.
No, right.
And depend. Depend. It seems like, you know, the singular would be far better than the plural.
Yeah.
For this case,
it's better than. I don't know, pea catcher or whatever.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
So I'm glad they didn't do that. Revelers channeled their inner Sir Edmund Hillary in Times Square on Sunday night and Monday morning as the new year rang in 2018 in the bone-chilling New York weather that night. Coldest since 1962, by the way. It's very, very cold. Wow, coldest since 62. That is a long time ago.
Yeah, no kidding.
We weren't even alive. Anyway, this you wonder how they got through it? They got through it because they wore adult diapers. Yeah, that's right. Milwaukee tourist Sally Anderson, age 29, said the temps were so balmy compared to where she spent the holiday last year, the South Pole. This is no big deal, she said, wearing the same Canadian Goose Expedition parka she donned on her Antarctic trek and as she stood in Times Square with her mom. They began waiting there at 9:45 in the morning. I'm actually overheating at the moment. I have no gloves on. I have warmers. I don't have them on either, says Anderson.
Wow.
Even singer Mariah Carey, who was made a successful comeback Sunday night after last year's failed television performance. Are we sure it was successful?
Yeah. I think the whole hot tea, yeah, you know, yeah, like the riffraff. Well, I guess I'll be just like all the riffraff and not have any hot tea. What a disaster. A lot of people, by the way, a lot of people, and I guess, you know, you were included, that hadn't seen that, heard about that that Mariah Carey tirade.
Oh,
yeah. Not really a tirade, but a little, you know, whatever.
Right, little thing, sure.
So my tweet, they all thought I was just being Mr. Diva and saying, I want some hot tea, give me some hot tea, why don't I have any hot tea? And Twitter
yesterday. This happens with me all the time with subtweets where I'm tweeting about something else without context, and people are like, yeah, what are you talking about? I'm like, no.
I kind of did that today with, well, let's just say, one of the sons of our fearless leader.
Oh, it'd be Eric or Don Jr.
It'd be Eric.
Oh yeah, Eric. All right, yeah, the vampire then. The vampire.
The one that accused Ellen DeGeneres of being a member of the Dark State in a tweet yesterday.
The Dark State.
The Dark State.
I thought it was the Deep State. Isn't that what they're supposed
I'm
to
sorry,
say?
I'm sorry. Deep State. Deep State.
Did he
yes.
say Deep State?
He did say Deep State.
He's a vampire though. He totally is. He's a vampire. They dug him up. He's like one of them. He's one of the bad guys in one of those Underworld sequels or something.
Kind of is with the hair slicked back and
The
pasty, really pasty look to him.
Yep. I think his brother's a werewolf, so he got a lichen and a.
Wow, no kidding. Yeah. Are you on Team Junior or Team Eric? Which one do you want to end up with Bella?
I think I'm on neither team there. I don't like those teams.
Anyway, sorry. Yeah, deep state.
Deep state, dark state, whatever you need.
Whatever.
It's racist. All right. Hey, what's this? Oh, okay. So anyway, the point is a whole bunch of people wear adult diapers so they could stand there all day. That's all. That's the whole story.
Would you do that? Like, would you?
Hell no.
Let's say you had to be there.
No. Okay. All right. Wait. You mean if I had to be there? First of all,
let's say you had to be there.
I'd never do it normally under my own volition, but if I had to be there, stand there from 9:45 a.m. until midnight and later that same day in the coldest weather on record.
Yeah.
Oh my Lord.
Because you know it's going to be super cold. You know it's going to be like 4 degrees with wind chill, meaning that area. I don't know, man. I'd be worried that. I guess my body temperature would keep it from freezing, but still sitting in my own squishiness.
Your own wet for 4 hours. Your own wet. I don't think I'd do. Well, first of all, if I'm being made to do this, I'd figure out a way to take myself out of this life before I was made to do it. It sounds awful.
Yeah.
Sounds I wouldn't really mind.
You know, I want to see the running of the bulls in Pamplona. I want to go to New Orleans for an actual Mardi Gras, not one of their fake 365 days a year or 364 days a year non-Mardi Gras.
Yeah. That's...
But I have no desire to go to Times Square for New Year's Eve ever. I don't know. I don't know why I want those other two things, but I just don't want that.
I don't want it either. Maybe it is the temperature thing. That might be it. I don't know.
Could be. I don't know. Even if it was warm, I don't think I'd want to just sit there that massive a crowd of people.
Ugh. Everything about this says no to me. None of it. Yeah. I'm not interested. And I'm glad people are. I'm glad people are into that. Have fun, man.
You can have it all. More for you.
Yeah. You look fine on TV from here. A prison inmate claims drugs found in his butt weren't his.
Okay. All right.
And the court doesn't buy it. This is an argument that was doomed to fail. In fact, it took state.
I'm willing to hear him out. I want to hear him out.
You're going to allow this? You're going to allow it?
Let's hear him out, and then we'll judge.
All right. It took state superior court panel just five pages, to reject prison inmate Edwin Greco Wiley Biggs' claim. That's a long name.
Edwin Greco Wiley Biggs.
It's actually kind of fun to say.
Have you been injured in an accident? Were drugs found up your butt? Call the law firm of Edwin Greco Wiley Briggs.
Yeah. What was that guy's name? That was like
Greco.
Greco.
Yeah, Greco from,
he took over on something. Was it Family Ties? No.
Wasn't he a Justine Bateman?
Bateman?
Justine Bateman's. Justine Bateman. I put the plural in the wrong place. Wasn't he Justine Bateman's? Wasn't he Mallory Keaton's boyfriend for a while? Or is that a different guy?
Maybe, or I don't know where I'm thinking of this guy from. Oh, no.
No, he's not 21 Jump Street.
He took over Johnny Depp's job is what I'm thinking of.
Right. Oh, okay, I thought that one was established. I was trying to think about what else he would have taken over.
Like, no, he was like the Coy and Vance of that show. He came in and took over for the more popular Johnny Depp who was leaving.
It's like when they brought in the new youngest child on Growing Pains. Yeah. That's when you know a show's just about over.
Oh yeah. Well, Senior Judge William H. Platt wrote in a state court opinion that Wiley Biggs became the subject of a strip search when a corrections officer saw another inmate pass something to him in a state prison in Fayette. When Wiley Biggs was ordered to bend over and spread his buttocks. That's fun to say.
Buttocks.
The searchers, those poor guys, found a small plastic bag sticking out of his, you guessed it, rectum. Mm. Damn near killed him, yeah. Inside that bag was a blue balloon containing synthetic marijuana. That stuff's no good. That's the spice.
Salvia or whatever.
Yeah, they call it spice on the streets.
Oh, right, yeah.
Like that guy in Christmas that tipped over. Anyway, in April, Fayette County judge sentenced Wiley Biggs, age 36, of Clarion, you know, the makeup state.
It's Clairol. Oh. No, not Clairol.
Isn't there Clarion? Clarion.
I'm thinking there's a hotel chain called Clarion.
Why is that so familiar? Hold on. Makeup. Clarion makeup. Why is that?
Clarion?
Yeah, there it is.
Okay.
Clarion. Oh, it's Clarins. Clarins. My wife has this stuff.
Okay.
That's what it is. It's Clarins. Here's a 1989 commercial for Clarins. Here.
I love this lipstick in the store. When I got it home,
with Brian Dunaway's microphone. They did it on me.
Ditto for this one. And this one. Then I tried Clarion.
Clarion makeup.
No, it is Clarion.
Okay.
Clarion. I thought it was Clarion, but it's Clarion. Why do I remember that? That's dumb. I don't wear makeup.
No, I've never... Huh.
That's something dumb to remember.
I can't remember a Clarion makeup. Well done, sir.
Thank you very much. I'm sure this will be worth something to somebody, now that I've said it.
This will come in handy. This knowledge will come in handy someday.
Let's see. Wiley Biggs contended the prison officials didn't prove the synthetic marijuana was his. So he's like, that's my friend's drugs up my butt.
Yeah. They didn't. I was holding it for a friend.
Yeah, they didn't buy it. So
they didn't tell me it was drugs. He said, hey, could you hold on to this for me? And... yeah, I think the bottom line.
No,
pun intended there. Yeah. But I think anything you put up your butt is yours. It's like a dog marking its territory.
Oh no!
You now own that thing.
100% on board. Like, yeah, possession. You know how we say possession is 9/10 of the law. Possession in your butt is 10/10 of the law. It's all
exactly.
of it.
Exactly. You get the Hope Diamond, you shove that up your keister, and basically the museum says, well, yes, that's a write-off.
Yep. Yep.
Call the insurance agency. That's that doesn't belong to us anymore.
Yeah, I mean, they'll throw you in jail and everything, but that's yours, man. You keep it. Finally, New Jersey's banning home-baked goods. Did you hear about this? This is kind of a bummer here.
You can't bake your own goods?
Unlike 49 other states, all the other states... Uh-huh. New Jersey is banning the selling of home-baked goods. Now, this Heather Rosinko lady, who says she just escaped an abusive relationship, found herself living paycheck to paycheck. Becoming a baker was a way to recover and bond with her son. At first, she sold her baked goods to support her son's school fundraisers, but over time, her signature cake pops became a hit. Cake pops.
Ooh, cake pops. You know how you make cake pops, by the way?
How?
Or K-Pox, as I called them a second ago, is you make cake.
Yeah.
You make a cake.
Okay.
And then you break off pieces and wad them up and then cover them with frosting.
Okay, not interested.
I know. Exactly. Like, you think of these things as, oh, look at these great cake pops. No, it's like you bake a cake, you tear off chunks, you wad them up into balls, and then cover them with frosting.
Yeah, I'm not into that. I'm not doing that. Forget it. It's not going to happen. Well, anyway, I guess with this stuff took off for her, she was making good money with this business. She'd hoped she could pay for her son's college education. One day, her own brick-and-mortar cake pop shop. Unfortunately, her dreams were dashed thanks to a new law that exists only in New Jersey. Unlike 49 other states, selling baked goods at home is illegal in their Garden State. Baking and selling just one cake, cookie, or muffin risks fines as high as $1,000. When Heather learned she had to shut down her cake shop, she was crushed, she says. Quote, aww. I'd always wanted to have my own business. I believe in creating your own destiny and being self-sufficient, she told CBS this morning. Hey, listen, this is what I'd do. Get the hell out of New Jersey.
Yeah, get a license and open up a shop. Like, actually have your own licensed cake pop shop.
Yeah, do it now.
By the way, Sidian says, also cupcakes are just cake, but in cups. Yes, but you don't make cupcakes by baking a cake and then wadding the cake up, grabbing handfuls of cake, wadding them up and shoving them into cupcake tins.
You pour it in.
And you bake it after.
Yeah, you stir it up. Your hand is never involved. You stir it up in a bowl. You make the mix, you do the thing, and then you pour it into your little cups, and then you have cupcakes. Nobody ever takes a handful of cake and goes, and puts it on a stick. I am with Brian on this 1,000%. Do not send us any cake sticks to try. Oh, that reminds me.
I like cake pops. I'll still eat them. Well,
I'm not doing it. I don't know who rolled those up in their hand. Freaking forget it. All right. I got a couple things here. Boxes that I haven't opened yet, but apparently I keep forgetting to do this, and the two people who keep bugging me about it, not bugging me, you guys are awesome and thank you for the reminders, but it's the wrong word. I didn't mean bugging, but there is a box of Japanese stuff we got to eat that I think you got as well.
Oh yeah,
and we got to do that
thick and liquid or something, right?
Yeah you've been avoiding it, I know. And then I got a Korean thing that came to my old house for some reason. And that, we finally met up with the guy who bought the house recently. Apparently, they're like two owners in since we moved, which is weird. So we got that to do. Now what? Oh, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to get Nicole all up in this, do some recommendals, talk to Tom for his whole bit. Well, actually, he's next, so he'll be right up here in a second. But before all of that, Brian brung the music.
I did. Now, one of the genres of music that I don't think we've played ever, as far as In the Middle, or at least not very often, is reggae. We haven't played a lot of reggae as far as In the Middle. But there's still a lot of great reggae bands out there, a lot of great indie reggae bands that are creating music. Let's go to these guys who come out of Washington. You know, the Northwest, a big reggae.
Oh, yeah.
Big scene for reggae.
Sure.
The closer you get to Puget Sound, the better that reggae gets. This is a band called High Ceiling. These guys actually are great. Really, really like them. They have a brand new album out called Easy. It's Joel Black on vocals and bass. Trail Black, his brother, on guitar and vocals. Frank Fox on drums. Gabe Olson on percussion. Brad Schrant on keyboard, saxophone, flute, and also helping out the vocals. These guys are awesome. The band is called High Ceiling. And this song is called Take a Sip. Here it is.
Take a sip, take a sip, di-di-di-di-dip. Come take a sip from my comfort tea. Take a sip, take a sip, take a sip, di-di-di-dip. Come take a sip from my comfort tea. Take a sip, take a sip, take a sip, di-di-di-dip. Come take a sip from my comfort tea. Come take a sip, take a sip, take a little, little sip. And you know gonna taste so sweet. They say the heart, it is willing, and the flesh is weak. I and I know that my flesh is strong, but the valley me tread is so deep. The hardest part is only ahead. I will fight for my life, I said. I won't worry about my house, I won't worry about my car, I'm gonna worry about my health instead. So come take a sip, take a sip, take a sip, di-di-di-dip. Come take a sip from my comfort tea. Come take a sip, take a sip, take a sip, di-di-di-dip. Come take a sip from my comfort tea. Take a sip, take a sip, take a sip, di-di-di-dip. Come take a sip from my comfort tea. Take a sip, take a sip, take a little, little sip. And you know it gonna taste so sweet. Us type of people, we've been around a long time, seeking a way to capture vitamin from sunshine. Us type of people, we've been around a long time, seeking a higher vision only to find unlimited potential in this earth. We just need to put our hands in the dirt, plant the seed and sing a requiem. This is all part to living as one. Take a sip.
take a sip, take a sip, take a sip, dip, dip, come take a sip from my comfort tea. Come take a sip, take a sip, take a sip, dip, 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 come take a sip from my comfort tea. Come take a sip, take a sip, take a little, little sip, and you know it gonna taste so sweet.
Guys, this entire episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you by Casper, a sleep brand that is always working on revolutionizing its products and creating an exceptional, comfortable sleep experience one night at a time. 2018 is no different. They're designed by humans for humans. They combine multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface that is just the right sink and just the right bounce. They breathable design that helps you sleep cool and regulate your body temperature throughout the night. They're not just any mattress company. They offer a wide array of products to ensure an overall better sleep experience. Casper's mattresses are made in the USA, and they're easy to get online. You buy online, delivered to your door in a compact box. There is free shipping and free returns in the US and Canada. Here's what we want you to do. Check them out for 100 days for free. Risk-free trial, 100 days. We spend a third of our lives on a mattress. It's so important to truly sleep on a mattress before committing. That's why Casper gives you 100 nights to try it out. I love my Casper mattress. I sleep better every night as a result. It was one of the best decisions I ever made, and I was only a couple of days into that 100 days before I decided to keep it. You'll find you'll love it too. Start sleeping ahead of the curve with Casper. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/morningstream and use the promo code MORNINGSTREAM at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. That's $50 toward any mattress purchase. By visiting casper.com/morningstream and use that code MORNINGSTREAM at checkout.
I'd be perfectly happy if there weren't any robots at all, especially the ones that sit in their chromium-plated tails and chromium-plated orchestras playing chromium-plated bassoons.
Blah, 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 who cares?
The Morning Stream. Mock death at your own peril.
All right, we're back, everybody. That was cool. I made me want to do reggae and listen to things, or do pot and listen to reggae. That's what I meant.
Made you want to take a sip, dip, 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 didn't it?
Yeah, of his comfort tea. What is comfort tea? Is that a thing?
No idea. No idea whatsoever. I guess it's tea that you take comfort in that.
Yeah, people. Somebody somewhere knows what that is. Chat room, you guys, anybody of you have had, is there some kind of like, comfort tea, that's just pot. Or it's a term for, you know, drugs or something. I don't know. I'm just a dummy. I don't know this stuff. I'm not very streetwise. I don't know what's happening. Oh, look at that.
Oh, I know that voice.
I know, and it's so nice to hear just like this nice little intro thing from him, but let's find out who it really is.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
Technology's own Tom Merritt. Hello.
Well, hello.
Hi.
Apparently my video is not working with Discord.
No, it's
not. Oh, good. I thought it was just that your house is really, really dark.
I'm looking. Let me see here. If I focus on you, yeah, you're just black. Black
as night. No, I'm looking at it in preview. It's not.
That's okay. Listen.
It's not showing.
It doesn't always have to be your face. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It has to be somebody.
We can all imagine your face and your bookcase and your awards and your toys and your.
All your fancy stuff that you can just, at any given minute, reach over and grab and have right on camera. We know how it is. Maybe one day out of 365 days, you won't be able to show us a comic you got when you were 8 years old because we mentioned it in passing.
Bah!
Oh, shit. He's back. I see camera now. What happened? Something changed.
That's a lot of camera, too.
Whoa, my Lord.
That's way more camera than you need.
Yeah. That's a very different view of what we usually see.
You've got a sippity dippy dip park behind you.
Yeah. You're like me in the summertime before I go out in the sun. Looks good.
Right,
sun.
Yeah.
It's Tom Merritt, everybody. We love Tom Merritt. He comes in here on Wednesdays, talks about technology.
Hi,
it's great to have you here. And you're supposed to say to us, how many lights do you see? And we say, two lights.
There are three lights. Well, because there's the one in front of me, too.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. Yeah, you look
now fine. There's just the one light.
So it's Wednesday. That's my daily tech news show today. I love it, and I'm excited. But I don't know what's going on in the world of technology, yeah, and that's why you showed up today to tell us what's happening.
I tell you what, I don't want to sound dismissive of you when I say this, but I think you'll agree that a serious kernel level processor vulnerability is probably not your favorite story.
No, but it's a big one, because anybody, my understanding of this is that anybody with an Intel processor, I don't know if it's of any kind, but any current gen, you know, i7, i5 range stuff, have this vulnerability, and the only way to fix it is to ding us by 30% of our performance. Can you explain if any of that's true? Okay, I'm curious.
Yeah, yeah. We don't actually know the nature of the vulnerability because they don't want to tip people off how to use it. But without going into too much detail, there's all this cool stuff that happens on the processor already, whether it's AMD or Intel, to make it faster. Mm-hmm. It has to do with virtual addresses. Let me see if I can get this simplified enough off the top of my head, but you have an address for every byte, right, in your memory.
Okay.
And it used to be that those bytes would be assigned in the memory, and then when they were released, they'd leave a gap, and then programs would spend a lot of time trying to track down where the memory was because it wasn't contiguous, and that would slow things down.
Right.
Oversimplifying for those who really know how this works, but that's essentially it. So they came up with virtual memory that said, hey, we're going to tell the program that it's all right next to each other. That'll make it faster. And the processor will then be able to talk to the kernel about whether it's where it really is. So it's kind of like, you know, telephone. I know your telephone number. I don't know your address, but it doesn't matter because I dialed the telephone number.
Right.
A little bit like that.
Okay.
So that helped speed things up. It also... It gave the ability to say, you know, every program is going to have its own set of memory coordinates, and it will never be able to look at another program's memory coordinates and steal them, which is good. That's a nice, secure thing. You don't want programs going like, hey, I see your password. Got it. Yeah. But to do that, you also had to make sure that the kernel, which is, and if people don't know what the kernel is, it's not the Kentucky Fried Chicken guy. It's the central part of the operating system that talks to the processor.
Right.
Sure. Right. And the kernel is God in the processor. It can do everything for the operating system. And therefore, you want to separate the kernel out from everything else. You don't want any program to be able to see what the kernel sees. So what they do is they would split virtual memory, give half of it to the kernel, half to the programs. All right. So far, so good. The kernel can't see the program can't see the kernel. Apparently, and again, we don't really know the full details, apparently, something that Intel and actually a lot of other processors, although significantly not AMD, do is something called speculative execution of the ring 3 code that writes to the ring 0 memory.
Oh my lord.
And don't worry what all that means. Essentially, that means Intel tries to guess what memory the program might need that the kernel has access to and serve it up. Apparently, sometimes when it does that, it causes the ability of the program to see memory that the kernel has access to that the program shouldn't see. All right.
Okay.
So what's happening is they're, again, way oversimplifying. They're taking the kernel's memory and they're just moving it out. They're like, nope, we're not going to have it anywhere near the program anymore. Right? The program will not be able to see the kernel memory. The kernel will tell the program what it needs to know, but there won't be this shared space in the TLB anymore. And what that means is it slows things down, because the whole point of having it all mushed together in the speculative execution was to speed things up. So therefore, you're going to take a performance hit. Now, what that performance hit's going to be is impossible to say right now. Nobody's really pushed the patches out. Linux is pushing patches out right now. Windows 10 has them in their insider preview, and they're expected to bring them to everybody shortly. But the Register says from its estimates, it's anywhere between 5 and 30% performance slowdown. So, I mean, if it's 5%, it's bad. If it's at the upper range, the 30% that you mentioned, that's worse.
That's it's really bad. Yeah. Really bad. Well, I mean, I'm hoping, I mean, I don't know, I bet those Linux guys figure out a way to make it less painful, because that's just how they roll with open source like that. But I'm really curious to see what the Mac OS update and the Windows update end up doing to performance, because this affects a lot of stuff. It affects so many different kinds of things people do. All of that being said, it is a little like buying a 300Z turbo and then turning the turbo off because there's a problem with turbo.
A little bit. And here's the thing, you know, if you want to look at a good side of this, if you'd rather not just, I mean, if you just want to panic and assume it's going to be 30% and start throwing things, not going to stop you. But if you want to be like, well, wait a minute, is it really going to be that bad? Because historically, when a bad thing is announced, it ends up not being as bad as everybody is afraid of. What is our hope? Our hope here is like, oh, well, maybe it will only be take a performance hit in the cache. Maybe there are other things in the operating system that'll pick up the slack. Maybe it will only be slow for certain types of processes. This is really going to be a problem for cloud services that work on massive scales. It's a problem for virtual machines, and it could slow down cloud services. It's probably not going to be as noticeable for you on a daily basis. And here's the really good news. According to the Register anyway, it's not going to hit gaming.
Your gaming performance
should not be affected by this particular bug.
Yeah, and gaming's already so much less CPU insistent as it is GPU insistent. So it's not like we were already kind of in that world, and that's good. Like when people upgrade their PCs, it's very rare that you're like, well, the CPU needs an upgrade. It's almost always that your GPU or RAM or hard drive or something else. So I know that we've talked about the ramifications, but what is the actual security risk? Like, what's the thing that we're worried about here? Root access.
Because they haven't detailed what the vulnerability is. It's hard to say.
Okay.
It could be as little as a malicious software might be able to do get running in a situation when it shouldn't, when it would otherwise be prevented from running, up to it can see all your passwords and everything that the kernel sees it could see. It's just impossible to tell how easy it is to take advantage of without knowing more details about how it works.
Well, everybody with an Intel CPU, look out.
Yeah, and this might affect ARM. It might affect other processors still. There's a lot of information still left to come out. It apparently does not affect AMD. Although, before you get too excited about AMD, they have their own issues with L3 cache and weird things like that. So it's not like AMD, I mean, I'm sure AMD is going to claim like as much as they can out of this, but it's not like AMD is perfect.
And has Intel said anything? Like, have they come out and gone, hey, sorry about this? I mean, like any kind of real statement from them other than there's a vulnerability and everyone's working on a fix?
Yeah, pretty much. It's...
I want more. I mean,
they
want to
fix it first, man. Like, would you rather have them standing around talking about it?
No, I agree. I would much rather have it fixed, but it seemed, and I'm not going, oh my gosh, I can't believe they allowed such a thing. This is the nature of this stuff. But what a bummer, technology bumper. Well,
and the other thing, if I'm Intel, I'm not going to remark on it until I know all the details, and I'm not going to know all the details until all the patches have been pushed and we can really do benchmark testing. My guess is they're probably doing that right now.
Yeah, well, their new slogan should be Intel Inside. I don't know. Intel's a little slower now. That's their new slogan. It's a little less
Intel,
happy.
Inside 30% slower.
Yeah, somewhere between 5 and 30%. All right. Well, I am sure that this will be a big part of today's daily tech news show, which I'll be on with you and Sarah Lane and, of course, Roger. I'm very excited about it. Anything else you would like to mention before we go?
Well, the Pavaria novel, which I have been mentioning every week, still out. Still get it if you want a good generation colony ship story. Audiobook is complete. It's up there at patreon.com/acedetect. If you are a patron of my writing, you have access to all of the MP3 files And so the next step for me is to collect all those together and put them in the right format for Audible and get them up there.
How fun was that? Or was it hard? Like, what's it like to do a whole book like that? Because you got to, you know, do you have
I've done it a couple other times, but I hadn't done it in a long time. Mm. And it was really fun. The hardest part is when you have a character, and I believe me, I'm not trying to be an actor, but I, you know, I want it to be recognizable. That if I have a guy talk like this, the next time you hear him, he talks like that, right? And trying to remember characters that appear at the beginning of the story and then don't show up until the end. I'm like, wait, how does this person talk?
Yeah, that's a challenge. I was wondering about that. It must be a little bit of a challenge, but I'm glad you did it. Even Roy-
also, the female voices are always weird.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
Do you have to do the, hi, okay, this is...
I mean, I try not to go full Minnie Mouse, but yeah, I try to...
Hello!
Try to lighten the voice a little bit.
Oh, right. Man, that's a hard road to walk. Yeah, I totally get it. Well, I'm glad that you're doing it, and people should check that out. Tom Merritt, everybody, Ace Detect on Twitter. Stay out of the trouble, and we'll see you soon.
Bye.
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 Bye. All right, Brian. Nicole? Nicole.
Okay, Nicole.
Okay.
Sure.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. She is not online, so that may not bode well. I don't know.
Okay.
I hit record again, and then I got to hit this here button right here.
Nicole.
Nicole Spagnolo on the phone. Hello, Nicole. How are you?
Am I supposed to be on Skype or
Discord? But it's okay. Either way, we don't care. Oh, damn, we'll take you wherever we get you. It's okay. Listen, you had a lot of CBD in your system, or CMC, or whatever it is.
CBD, and yes, you can get it in Utah. You just got to get the CBD only.
I tried.
You went to that Mary's Nutritionals?
No. But I talked to a bunch of people who are heavy, I shouldn't say heavy, illegal users. But people who get it other ways, and they're like, yeah, man, you can't get the CBD in Utah,
If you go to Mary's Nutritionals, they ship to all 50 states.
Mary's Nutritionals. I'll have to look it up again. They'll do it anywhere regardless of, because everyone is telling me there's some state law that says anything but hemp oil is out, is what they're all saying here. So I don't know. Look at all these people.
I'm just letting you know Mary's Nutritional ships all 50 states.
All right. Well, I'll figure it out. Anyway, hey, Nicole Spag, everybody, here for recommendals. We're going to... Oh, that's the thing that makes sound. Is that me? Who is that?
That's not me.
I don't know what that
not
is.
Not me.
I don't know what that was.
Sounds like dinner time.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a Kit Kat.
I'm on Mary's Nutritional site. Maybe it made a noise.
Oh, yeah. That's probably what it is.
That might have been it. Anyway, we're going to do them. We're going to do recommendals, stuff we've seen on streaming services. That's right. Yay. We do it every week. And the tradition is that Brian Ibbett goes first, and I don't see why we should break with that. So, Brian, what are we doing for you? Should I play this, or do you got a setup?
This is, you know what? No setup. This is, people will either recognize this or they won't. And I'm not setting anything up.
All right, here it is.
He leaned over one spot where there was light. And he pointed down, and we looked upon a very good-looking couple engaged in oral sex.
Jeez.
He
good
made
morning.
A kind of sign like that. And I leaned closer and closer, watching intently. And then I felt a man's hand on my neck. And it was the voyeur who crawled around and pulled me up very quietly, but firmly. I looked at him. And that damn tie of mine, my red silk tie, was only like a couple of feet from the head of the woman giving a blowjob to this guy on his bed. Jesus. He said, you have to be careful with that tie.
Okay, I know what this is. It's that weird voyeur documentary on Netflix about the guy who bought a hotel just so he could spy on people.
Exactly what it is. That hotel was here in Denver, just outside of Denver in Aurora.
What?
Colfax. Yeah. Hotel and rigged up the roof, the ceiling above each of the rooms so that he could walk down the center beam and look down through all the vents that he also had installed. There weren't really vents. They were just actual louvered, you know, vent
This is my worst nightmare, by the way.
Yeah, me too.
I traveled for so long.
Yeah.
I traveled for 14 years, staying in different hotels and just some not so good. And I even learned a trick about two-way mirrors. Mm. You know what the trick is?
No.
No.
So if you put your finger up to, it's sad that, you know, you have to know this, but if you put your finger up to a two-way mirror, it will touch. So if somebody can see you from the other side, it will actually touch. Right, if it's a regular mirror, there'll be a gap.
Oh.
Yeah, like an eighth of an inch gap where you could see. Yeah.
So every damn hotel room I would go into, I would always check the mirrors.
I have never even heard of that. That's crazy. Yeah. I don't like any of this. Yeah. So I started this documentary and then I couldn't keep going because it really weirds me out. This guy buys a hotel with this specific reason so that he can get up and spy on everybody all the time.
What is this name of the documentary again?
The film is called Voyeur. The documentary is called Voyeur. And it centers not just around this dude who bought this hotel, but about this writer named Gay Talese. And he's been this writer for The New Yorker for years and years and years, and wrote, basically, he'd received letters from this guy who had, he thought that basically because of the statute of limitations, he could finally kind of brag about his hotel that he had.
Yeah. And this guy's a real... Because
it had been long enough and he didn't have it anymore. And he's like, I'm thinking my story's ready to come out. And he sounded kind of proud of it. And so Gay Talese kind of did this interview with him and kept doing these interviews, went to the place, as you heard right there, describing, that's Gay Talese's voice, describing how when he went to the hotel, they actually went up in the rafters and looked down at people and his tie stuck through the louver, the ceiling thing. Yeah. And but then more information comes out that maybe this guy who has who bought this hotel, who's telling the story, might be full of crap. And you believe some of this, because obviously Gay Talese went to the motel and saw this for himself. But there are pages and pages of documented this guy would write pages, like he had books, thick books, notebooks filled with what he saw in each of those rooms. And he would go down to the description of woman checks in alone. She has popcorn on the desk next to her. She's up from 8:30 a.m. until 9 p.m. da, da, da. It's like almost like an FBI stakeout, but he's doing this for like 12 rooms.
Yeah.
And it's amazing the detail. But then you find out that for some of those dates, he didn't own the hotel. Like this actually, some of these writings took place before he even owned the hotel. And so there's a whole sub story behind this thing. The voyeur himself is like two-thirds of the story, but there's this wrapping around the whole story that's like, oh my God, this is fascinating.
Hmm.
It's worth checking out. I mean, and Scott, you should definitely finish up the documentary because it does get really, really interesting.
So I only got like 15 minutes in and that guy creeped me out so bad, just sitting in that chair with those sunglasses going, bro, yeah, I used to love to look down the hole at the ladies. Yeah.
Super creepy, so but it's a fascinating story.
I don't know why I was doing Switchblade there, but it happened. Switchblade? No. What's it called?
Sling Blade.
Sling Blade. Thank you very much.
Sling Blade.
Well, all right. I'll finish it. I don't know. Yeah. It gave me the willies. I had to get out.
It is fascinating. We actually heard about this on a podcast before the documentary came out. We didn't even know there was a documentary being done. And Tina and I were listening to this article about it, and it was really interesting. Hmm. And then you find out all this further stuff.
Well, here's a scene.
The roof fell in.
There's one. Here's another one.
The roof is on fire.
That's actually Nicole Spag in her car saying the roof
is
on fire.
No, was it?
Yep. Let's play it again.
The roof is on fire.
That's totally you.
Oh, my God.
I don't remember when you sent that to me.
That's what happens when you drive in Arizona, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, is that it? Okay. Great. Anyway, all right. Well, there it is. Netflix is where you'll get it. And it's original, so it'll never leave. It's there.
Mm-hmm. There forever.
Let me now regale you with my clip. This is going to be obvious, but I don't care. Here it is.
I must tell you, I've never had a problem with white people ever in my life. But full disclosure, the poor whites are my least favorites. We've gotten a lot of trouble out of them.
I started watching this too.
It is third and final. Well, technically, it's almost like two
in one.
Well,
maybe I watched one of his earlier ones. I watched the one where he was talking about him taking a hit of pot, and that was in Detroit when all that crazy stuff happened.
Oh, yeah, that's this. I think the second of the three.
Is it?
Yeah, and they're all good. I recommend all of them. I absolutely loved the latest Dave Chappelle, and what is to be, I suppose, his final special, and maybe it for him generally. He talked a bunch in the stand-up about how he's done with comedy. Or as he put it, it's time to make America wait again, which makes me laugh. But it's
Jesus Christ.
What?
Mark,
you all right? What did Mark do? What happened?
Did he sneak up behind you?
Do you not have me on video?
No, I had Brian up. What happened?
Oh my God! He was just. I was like, I feel like there's another presence in this room. And he just kind of, because I can't turn my neck right now. I'm still kind of, you know.
Well done, Mark.
So, and he just kind of came.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
That's really funny. That's really funny. I was like, what is she saying in the middle of this? I was like confused a little bit. No, you're totally fine. We can thank Mark for that one. But anyway, it's awesome. Dave Chappelle is a genius, I think, and my favorite stand-up of all time. Now, you don't want to have the little kids around. He's a sweary dude and, you know, talks about some pretty hard subjects, but I always find him infinitely listenable. If you've never heard him before, maybe start with his HBO thing he did like 20 years ago. It was incredible. One of the best stand-ups of all time. And I think this one ranks right up there. I loved it. I cannot recommend it enough if you are a stand-up comedy fan, if you're a Dave Chappelle fan. I'm a little sad because it does sound like maybe he's done for at least a while. And that bums me out because I think he is one of the most unique voices in comedy.
He was so funny on SNL.
No, it was amazing. Yeah,
it was one of the best episodes.
Yeah. He even talks about that appearance.
Does he?
On here, yeah. So this is pretty recent stuff in front of a, I want to say it was in DC or something. Mm-hmm. But he has a way of just breaking down issues like race and inequality and politics and just kind of everyday stuff in a way that's really brilliant, but does it in this like self-effacing, I loved it. I thought it was really, really funny and I laughed my freaking head off. So I recommend it. It's called Equanimity is the name of the new one. It's actually got two parts to it. There's the whole stage bit and then there's this thing where he's sitting. It's like a bonus thing or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's that part I haven't gotten to because I only had time for the one main chunk. So Equanimity is what I saw. And then the last part has got like a separate title, but yeah, it's great. Dave Chappelle forever. That guy's a freaking comedy genius. And I honestly, seriously, of like every stand-up of all time, and I really like a lot of stand-ups, he always makes me laugh harder than any of them. So there's that.
Very cool.
Nicole.
All right.
Play what you got. So I'm hoping Mark won't scare you.
I sent it to you.
Oh, you sent it. All right. Here we go.
I saw this in the theater, and I saw that it showed up on Netflix. I'm like, well, I'll just recommend that.
Yeah.
Because it's streaming now, and I really enjoyed it.
All right, we got a little clip here. Let's back that up, and here's me playing it.
Why aren't you wearing one of Rocket's arrow rigs?
It hurts.
It hurts.
I have sensitive nipples.
My nipples hurt. Oh, goodness me.
All right, whoa, shoot, jumped ahead. It's Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Woo!
Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yeah, that movie's great.
Streaming on Netflix.
Good. Yeah.
Such a fun movie. I really enjoyed it. And
just the first 5 minutes alone are better than the entirety of Justice League.
Wow. That is some.
I haven't seen Justice League yet.
The first 5 minutes of Guardians of the Galaxy 2 give me just so much joy.
Mm. Yeah, that's good stuff. I enjoyed the hell out of 2. Wait, and 1.
And even like Thor Ragnarok, I'm like appreciative of these superhero movies. You know, there's lots of action, but I laugh in them. And I'm like, you know what? I'm really happy to be laughing right now.
Yeah. Yeah. They're the kinds of, when Marvel doesn't try to be so serious, I'm always my happiest. I really enjoy those when they do that. And you know what? You're going to do that with something like Guardians. You either have to go so serious or you got to have fun with it. And I'm glad they have fun with it because serious would be dumb. It'd be dumb.
Yeah.
With that whole universe. So go crazy with your cosmic stuff and be a little goofy and, you know, have those jokes be kind of on the nose. I have no problem with it. It's really, really, really good. I hope. I don't know how much they're involved in Infinity Gauntlet. They're only teased at the end of that new trailer.
Yeah, right.
But I,
they're all
I really,
over the movie poster. So.
I hope they're all over the movie because I feel like they'll really add something to that and
well, help. There's relations between Thanos and the Guardians of the Galaxy. They're also both cosmic. I think they're going to be fairly prevalent in that. They should be anyway.
I hope so because she's his daughter, right? What's her name?
Gamora is Thanos's daughter.
Yeah. One of his kids. Well, he's
adopted daughters or whatever, but yeah.
He's a deadbeat dad, isn't he? He's a piece of crap.
He is. He's just the worst deadbeat dad. He's always changing the color of his skin and all that stuff.
Well, Netflix has a deal with Disney where you get these pretty early on there, so I would get it now because who knows how long it'll be there.
Yeah, I'm wondering. Yeah. But what, Brian, what was the name of your movie again? Because I looked up Pervert and...
It's Voyeur.
Voyeur. Well, I looked up Pervert, and there's a documentary called Pervert Park.
Uh-huh. All right.
That I think it's sex offenders, and they are living in a trailer park. This kind of intrigues me.
It's run by Hammond.
look at that. 20...
Jeff Goldblum comes in and talks about the chaos theory of Pervert Park.
Yeah.
Pervert Park. How life finds a way.
2014. Yeah, they have some really good special effects in Pervert Park.
Oh, that's terrible.
Raptors who are also a little pervy. Let's see. Pervert Park follows the everyday lives of sex offenders in the park as they struggle to reintegrate into society.
Oh, wow.
That sounds like it could be at least somewhat interesting.
Yeah.
Moving and disturbing, says the review. So there you go. I don't know where that
is. So it's not pervert again. It's voyeur.
Voyager. Voyager, where Neelix is always staring at Seven of Nine. Right. She's showering. I don't know what's going on there. Is that Pervert Park streaming someplace?
On Netflix.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
I'm kind of interested in that as well. Hold on. Wait.
Prepare yourself for some great recommendations, some great auto recommendations by Netflix if you watch that.
The psychology of that is, I find that interesting, and like people trying to, move forward, kind of stuff is so hardcore and life altering that I don't know how people do it, but anyway,
yeah,
it's fascinating. It's like true crime stuff. I can't stop watching that stuff. If you say to me, oh, there's a new thing about William H. Gacy, or whatever his name was it William Gacy?
John Wayne Gacy.
Oh, John Wayne, no, William H. Macy.
William H. Gacy. Okay, all right. The crown might be this week taken from Nicole and given to Scott.
William H. Gacy, you know, the mass murderer.
Oh, that's terrible.
It is terrible.
Oh, I love it.
The heck do you mean? I don't have people buried under my porch. Anyway, that guy, if you tell me there's a thing about him, I watch it. Someone says, oh, there's a new Jeffrey Dahmer documentary. I totally get into it. I don't know what that says about me, but I'm fascinated by the brains of weirdos. I just am.
That's why you like that Mindhunter.
The Mindhunter, which
loved Mindhunter.
Also got a lot of love from the Golden Globes. It's definitely on our list to watch, hopefully some before the Golden Globes.
Deservedly so. I loved every second of that. That was an awesome show. All right, well, there you have it. Fine recommendations this week. Next week, we'll do it again. Nicole, you seem like you're feeling a little better today. You doing all right?
I'm feeling a little better. Yeah, the pain is less. I can raise my arm another inch.
Yeah.
That's how I'm gauging my progress, is how I can raise my arm.
Well, there you go.
So I'm not on any like hardcore pain medicine. I have, you know, good moments and bad moments, but that's usually when I reapply my salve.
Yeah, your sweet pot salve.
Before I go, because I had a ton of people reach out to me asking me more information. I mean, I'm not a doctor at all, but I've been encouraging people to go to a nonprofit to learn more about it, and it's called the Realm of Caring, and they have so much. Like when I first started researching it, I couldn't find any information on dosage, like how much I should use, any of that.
Yeah.
And this website, Realm of Caring, and I'll tell you here in a second, the URL has, you have to register to get into the whole back end side of it, but it has so much good information. It's it's the ROC.us. Mm. So it's the Realm of Caring. And I had sent you that dosage chart, Scott.
Yeah.
And I got it from there. So.
Okay.
if anybody really is interested in learning more about kind of, because from what I understand, CBD oil is an like a natural anti-inflammatory. And so, you know, that particular website is actually focused on families that have children that have, like, you know, a lot of seizures, a lot of problems, you know, autism, things like that. And they kind of work with the parents, but they also work with a lot of adults too. So I just wanted to put that out there because I know I'm not a doctor.
I wish we could smear CBD all over Twitter. And so it would be anti-inflammatory. Exactly.
Twitter.
Let's see if we can keep it all chilled out. All right. Fantastic. Nicole Spag, everybody. Nicole Spag on Twitter. We'll talk to you later.
See ya. Nicole.
Bye now. All right, Brian.
Fantastic.
We've come to an end of another thing.
We have. Before we get to our say goodbye kind of stuff, I do want to say, you know, I don't talk about this enough, but the TMS requests, you know, if you like the songs you hear on the show and you want to request something, if you know an indie artist or you want to reach out to an independent artist and have them get their music played on the show, all you have to do is send me permission from them saying, yeah, we totally allow you guys to use our music on the show. Same goes for the cover we play at the end of the show. Always looking for requests. If you've got a special day coming up, or even if you don't, just go to tinyurl.com/TMS requests and make a request for what song you want to hear. Excellent. You don't have to be specific even. You can say, I want to hear something originally done by Tom Petty or something like that. So
yeah, sounds great.
Yeah.
I'm into what you're selling. I like it.
So do that. Do that, people. Please.
Use it and abuse it even. Well, don't abuse it. Just be nice. Yeah. It depends on my definition of abuse is, I guess.
Abuse it with care.
Abuse it with care. There you have it. That's our motto. Tomorrow, Wendy and fun stuff. So come on back for that. Patreon.com/TMS is where you can support us. That is Patreon.com/TMS. If you're one of the folks that took off during the weird rule change that Patreon did last month, but they rescinded it, and you're thinking, man, I should come back. Hey, come on back to the family. We welcome you here with open arms. Here I go with open arms. How's that go? However that song goes.
Yeah, that's yeah, a little steep, a little journey for you.
There you go. With open arms, something to hide, or something. Anyway. So, yeah, we're here for you, and we appreciate all your support. Patreon.com/TMS, frogpants.com/TMS for all our contact details. If you want to find us on Twitter, Morning Stream, Scott Johnson, and Coverville. All right, that's it. Brian, play music now.
Yes, I will do that. Scott wrote in, not you, but another Scott. There are multiple. Said that I challenge you not to be happy after listening to the Screaming Orphans cover of I'm Gonna Be or 500 Miles, originally done by the Proclaimers. This is a cover that they released back this year on their album Tap Room. I'm sorry, last year. It's a brand new year. It's not 2017 anymore. Screaming Orphans and their cover of I'm Gonna Be 500 Miles.
All right, here it is. We'll be back tomorrow. See you then.
I'm gonna be the man. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
You cherish Utah's gleaming rivers.